Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:21 p.m. and that is Central Time. Excuse me, it is Pacific Time, and today is July 6th. Well, the big surprise today was the employment number, which came in way higher than expectations were. So nearly 500,000 jobs created, and that is certainly not pointing towards an employment situation that's turning downwards. So anybody who was betting that there was imminently going to be interest rate cuts was sadly disappointed. The 10-year yield popped higher to over 4% again. The last time it was at this level was back in early March. It didn't hold that level for very long, but certainly this is a powerful move, and if it is sustained through tomorrow and into next week, then there is the potential here that yields might move somewhat higher from where they are right now. But it is a little bit oversold in the short term. Now, the big question is, are we going to see additional weakness from the economy, and are we going to see other measures disappoint, and will that help to I think moderate the expectation that the interest rate hike planned for July it will be the last one. If we look at all the statistics that came out in here today, the services new orders were higher than last time, and the prices paid were lower. So that's also pointing towards an economy that isn't likely to slow down in a hurry. And yet, we still have interest rates that are moving higher. And the 2-year yield, which is about the best indicator for where interest rates are likely to go, is around the 5% level. And it's right in the region of its peak from back in March. Now, it did not hold all of the advance through today. And I think that what investors are beginning to think about is that perhaps what we will see instead is that there will be an economic slowdown, and that it just may take a little bit of extra time, and that we're still unlikely to see interest rates in the USA go up to 6 or even 7%. So then, when we look at what happened with the stock market in here today, now this was obviously following through on a very quiet day yesterday. And then the S&P 500 gapped lower in early trading, declined somewhat, but then paired the advance intraday. Now, this has been a rather inert environment. We haven't had a lot of 1% moves in the markets, and the Nasdaq is another example of that. It did gap lower and then finished well off the lows in here today. And then it was certainly supported by the outlook for some of the largest companies. So Apple gapped lower and then recovered to finish in positive territory today. And then Nvidia, which is overextended by any description of that term, is also continuing to hold its sequence of higher reaction lows. Now, eventually, that sequence is going to break and it will sustain a move down through 400. But it's not doing it right now. And who's to say that it can't go above 450 before it eventually does pull back? Of course, there's a lot of speculation going on around what is artificial intelligence, what does it mean for the entire world, and when are we going to get general artificial intelligence. And I think that move to general artificial intelligence is going to take a lot longer than anyone anticipates, in much the same way that all of the hype relating to autonomous vehicles, that they were going to be imminent in 2017. And we're now in 2023. You walk around Phoenix, Arizona, and you can see that there are way more vehicles on every street, and they have an app you can download, and you can take trips with them. But this is a grid system city where there isn't the same volume of traffic that you have in major cities, and then the weather doesn't change here all that often, and visibility is always pretty premium. because of the low humidity. So it's an ideal environment to test these kinds of vehicle, and I guess what calculation systems would probably be the best way to describe that kind of autonomy. It's not like the car knows how to drive. It's making lots of decisions based upon probability and observation in a very swift amount of time. And it's rules based. It's not like the autonomous vehicle isn't reinventing driving. That was certainly the way that Waymo was set up in the first place. Now, what Tesla is trying to do is somewhat different, and trying to learn on the fly. And that's a much more difficult engineering feat. And of course, it's also rather slow. It's probably going to take a step change in the ability of the AI systems in order to even gain that kind of autonomy. So I do think that we need to perhaps think about AI in terms of well-defined ideas like understanding or cognition, and need to very much avoid the temptation to anthropomorphize the AI systems in much the same way that people ascribe human emotions to dogs. They can just as easily do the same thing with artificial intelligence, and in both cases, it's not correct. Now, as we look around the rest of the world, the Asian markets were in negative territory in here today, and the Hang Seng was down over 3%. And part of the reason for that was just technical, because so many of the banks went ex-dividend, so it knocked them back. But that doesn't account for the fact that the index has been trending lower now for several months. It is encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is still a reasonably well-defined downtrend. The one thing that China is missing is any real sign that the government is willing to supply the liquidity required to support asset prices. And as we look at the Chinese government bond market, the yield now is right back in the region of the lows from back in 2016 and 2020, and trending downwards. So there is the real possibility here that China is going to experience deflation, and that it could very well export some of that deflation around the world. And of course, the Chinese central bank is as about enthusiastic as deflation as any other central bank, but there's no real sign that they're willing to do anything about it just yet, and the renminbi continues to devalue. Now let's look at some of these European markets. And the DAX index was down 400 points today. It has broken its sequence of higher reaction lows. It looks likely that it will come right back to test that 200-day moving average, but now the bigger question is whether it will find support there. So the margin of error here is quite tight, only about 300 points. And if it can find support, and since we did see the rebound on Wall Street today, there's at least a fighting chance that some of these European markets will also bounce tomorrow. The Dutch market, having been wobbly a little bit yesterday, pulled back further in here today, is also testing its sequence of higher reaction lows. When we think about the MIB index in Italy, then it does have quite a large number of banks within it. It is looking now like a failed upside break above the 38,000 level. That's been a reasonably consistent and orderly consolidation over the last 6 months, but it definitely needs to hold the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, the FTSE 100 in the UK, the large cap index, is back in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And now it does raise the question whether this is more reflective of the global economy or the outlook for consumers in the UK. And the UK market remains under pressure, and not least because Inflation is running high, and this higher rate of interest rates is weighing on the economy. So, is the UK economy or the European economy that much different from the US economy? And the answer to that question is probably going to inform just how bullish people are. So the pound, because of that rising interest rate differential, remains quite steady, and it's up to 127 almost and a half, and testing the region of the 1,000-day moving average. But the big question, I guess, is the services sector in the USA capable of propelling the entire economy, despite the fact that manufacturing data is continuing to come in weaker? There's a lot of money that's getting poured into building factories, and no real answer for where all the people are going to come from to, in fact, work in those factories. There are certainly unanswerable questions at the present time, but the stock market remains really quite steady. And what I found most particularly interesting today is that despite the big pop on the upside that we had in yields, and most particularly real yields, gold prices, they were down, but not in an especially dynamic manner, continuing to hold here in the region of the trend mean. And this continues to look like a reasonably orderly consolidation. So what this, I think, is also helping to highlight is that investors are more inclined to think that it is inevitable that interest rates will come down in due course, and that whenever we've seen problems arise in the economy, that the response over the last 15 years has been to massively inflate the monetary base. And the one thing we know that does is inflate asset prices. And most particularly, it hits the purchasing power of fiat currencies. So then that should be bullish for gold. And I'm rather encouraged that gold has been quite inert, despite the fact that we are in a positive real interest rate environment, and the trend is still higher for that, and that gold, excuse me, that the dollar has been fairly steady. I think, though, that ultimately that the dollar will trend lower, and that the possibility of a recession has not been avoided. That instead, I think what's more likely and is very much in tune with the way that markets work is usually people get really worried about a recession when the yield curve inverts, and then they forget about it and they rationalize away the risk. And when that risk has been fully rationalized away, well, then that's usually when the greatest risks arise. And when the Federal Reserve starts cutting interest rates, then that has the effect of catalyzing bearish sentiment. We're not quite there yet, but I don't think that the possibility of a recession has been avoided either. Now, the Nifty index in India continues to exceed the previous highs, and this has been a very impressive breakout over the last week. India is in the benign position of being courted by several different parties, and they're certainly making the best of it right now. And there will be more money poured into India, particularly for manufacturing, because they have a massive young population, and that's not easily repeatable. Building infrastructure, building ports and roads, that's something that can be overcome with sufficient political will. But you can't just simply print 600 million people under the age of 25. And that is a massive source, a pool of labor that will be utilized over the course of the next couple of decades. And then let's also just look at the rest of the mini markets. So we also have Mexico, which is currently unwinding its overbought condition, and I think it will be a buy on dips going forward. And then the Nigerian market popped on the upside 3 weeks ago, and then paused in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, but hasn't been pulling back in a dynamic manner and is at exceptionally depressed levels. This looks like a fairly orderly consolidation overall. And I'm going to just stick with currency adjusted ETFs. So the Indonesian market has been very range bound for the last 3 years. And in fact, it's been ranging for a decade. The ASEAN markets were the big winners coming out of the accelerated lows in 2008. They had appreciating currencies, and then they also had appreciating stock markets. But Indonesia, for the moment at least, remains very much range bound, and they definitely need commodity prices to start to turn around. Now, if the US economy is still firing, then that should be beneficial for oil demand. And Brent crude prices were well off the low in here today. So now coming up to test the upper side of this range. And we definitely need to see a breakout. Now, whether that breakout comes on the upside or the downside, I think the most likely scenario is it's going to be rather dynamic. And the energy spider is still distributing below the 200-day moving average. If it's going to break on the upside, it would really want to be getting about it. And this type of loss of momentum following an exceptionally impressive rebound isn't the most reliable of continuation patterns, but it has not yet broken lower. So we're certainly in an interesting environment, and I think it is just worth paying attention to some of the more technical features of the market. And the advanced decline line is very range bound, which basically tells us that there are as about as many companies rising every day as falling every day. That's not really suggestive that of a big bull market. The last time we hit something like this was back in 2014 and 15, and it required the migration back to quantitative easing and the next round of quantitative accommodation to really spur the advances in the broader market. The vast majority of the performance we've had so far this year has been focused on on seven companies. And that's a great example of the consolidation of or the trend of consolidation within capitalism, because it used to be eight companies, and Netflix has pretty much fallen by the wayside because it hasn't been able to keep up in terms of the market cap appreciation of some of the larger tech companies. But I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.